Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do we do?
Mother tonight.
Well, that's the annual Kimmy guest spot we have on the show.
Yeah,
was probably the best opening we've ever had on the show. I mean, we like to spice it up a little bit here on the Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show. So, how is everyone doing tonight?
Good.
Well, I'll talk at once. All right.
Look, I'm still trying to deal with my daughter. This is like the worst time ever. I'm doing fabulous, with the exception of being like, you know, I got a nap. Naps are good.
Maps are awesome. I think I said maps are awesome, and maps are awesome if you get lost. But naps are also good if you're sleepy. So we are definitely pro-maps and pro-naps on this show.
I was so sleepy.
Shout out to maps. Mm. Yeah, we had a busy weekend. Lots of moving
we did, actually.
This weekend.
Yeah. Huge
so
thank you to all of those who helped.
Yeah, all of those who came over and pretty much spent the whole weekend with us moving stuff. We definitely appreciate that more than you know. And I know everyone's
yeah.
listening to the show because what else are you going to do, really? It's a Monday night.
On a Monday night? No. Nothing.
Nothing. I mean, this is the best thing ongoing.
Unless
you're the best paranormal talk show on the radio. So how are you doing, Celeste? How is Florida?
Florida is actually participating in winter this week. By winter,
nice.
I mean, it's 63 degrees, so I'm kind of really happy right now with Florida.
You suck so
we're
hard.
We're stepping up, you know. We had 2 weeks over December,
God.
And now we're on to day two of this, so pretty proud of Florida right now.
Sure, if it's 60 degrees, I'd be out.
So.
I'd be in shorts right now. I'd be walking around. I'd be swimming in the ocean.
No, you don't want to do that. The water is like 20 degrees colder than the air, which means it's like 40 in there.
Well, I didn't say I would enjoy it. I never said I would enjoy it. I just said I'd be in there.
You'd be numb. You wouldn't last very long.
Yeah, well, then I wouldn't feel it. It's all that matters. I'd be like Jack in the Titanic. It's frozen. Although, probably colder than 40 degrees in that water.
You'd be like
probably.
Great Brian Ice Pop.
There'd definitely be some shrinkage up in here.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Good thing you've already recreated with Ange. You don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Unless you're going for a girl, too, and then I'm totally game.
Game over.
Oh, I mean, we already have two of those. We don't need another one. I mean,
there is a lot of estrogen
I'm already outnumbered as it is. I had to do that just to even up the odds a little bit. You know, I mean, that's basically what I planned the whole time. I like to act like I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew. I knew, like, man, if I work out with Angie, I got to get someone else on my team here. And let's take it a male dog. So I kind of positioned her the right way, you know. Sorry,
oh,
there's
no,
some
no.
information
you
there.
You did research first.
That's what I did.
Dude,
I contacted a witch doctor. She said some kind of spell on my penis, and just
you know,
it was really weird to dance.
Got me to hop around in circles on my leg on one foot
yeah.
after we finished.
No, it has to be a full moon. God.
Oh. It's still
God.
Wet.
Oh my God, we found the funniest note the other day while we're cleaning up. Cleaning up the upstairs. Kimmy had wrote Angie a note. I guess she could write, so she wasn't that young. Maybe she was what?
It was probably
eight,
about
3
years ago. She was probably about 8, yeah.
And she wrote, "I'm sorry I got mad," or "sorry I got upset." What'd she say on the note again?
She said something like, "I'm sorry, I was just upset." And then it said,
and then she wrote,
"Duh.
God, G-O-D, in like
big letters.
Super big letters. Yeah. God. And we read that, we're like, oh, my God, that's so funny. So I saw the teaser trailer for the new Mary Poppins movie coming out. Now, how do you girls feel about them remaking Mary Poppins?
I mean, I've never
excited.
Been a fan, so.
Aww.
I don't watch a lot of Disney stuff, except for Peter Pan. Peter Pan all day long.
Oh,
well,
eat Peter Pan and Peter Pan peanut butter. I just, man,
oh,
I don't know. About, I mean, I want to like it, but it's the same. It's like Return to Oz, which was a terrible movie. Oh, my God.
That was awful.
I hope it's not like that. Hope it's something that's... I hope it's a new take on it, but it doesn't go too far from the original.
You know, I wouldn't be upset if it was like Beauty and the Beast. You know, just kind of like a revamping of it.
Well, it's like a sequel to it. It's Mary Poppins Returns. Yeah.
Oh, well, see, they can still keep it along the same lines.
Yeah, it'll just probably be like older kids. Maybe the kids have kids now?
Well,
there you
go. Well, we do. I mean,
Michael and Jane.
Because, I mean, I used to watch it when I was a kid. Oh, yeah, I thought you meant the kids who watched the movies. Of course, it came out in the 60s, so I know the kids who watched Mary Poppins have kids and grandkids now.
I just thought of something. You know, like Ghostbusters, Goosebumps, where the kid...
So, you know the coolest thing that I found out this week?
That reminds
What's
me
that?
Of a messed up Mary Poppins.
The place that I work has
Has what?
Has paranormal activity.
Well, see, that's awesome news. Are you going to try to investigate it?
Yeah, but I have to wait until no one's on site. So.
Are you by yourself?
There's
often?
A lot of
current.
Yeah, on some of the nights because I do security. So most of the nights, except for like during the week, I'm by myself.
There
you
go.
Break out a recorder. And
yeah. Normally I carry my equipment
do some
mostly in my car, but I cleaned out my car and so now my equipment's at home.
Well, I mean if you have an iPhone, you can just go ahead and use the voice recorder on your phone. That's what I do. When I investigate. But you know, we actually have guests on tonight. And hopefully Blog Talk won't mess up like it has the past few nights. Although last Monday we had to do the whole three-way call. And I knew someday, you know, we'd have a three-way, Angie. I didn't think it would be like this, but, you know, it worked.
Right.
A three-way with Blog Talk. But last week and the week before last, Blog Talk was kind of iffy. But we've got Beyond Perception investigators on the show with us tonight, and they're in the queue. I see them on the in the waiting area, but I just want to talk about them for a little bit. Gwen Clapper and Vanessa Hogle, and Vanessa Hogle's son, which I forget his name, and their friend Chris, I believe. And I completely forgot his last name. They all came to the cabin on 360 last year around this time, probably middle of March. And they did a episode of their show, their YouTube show, Beyond Perceptions Investigators. Look them up on YouTube. It was a lot of fun talking to them, and they actually had some experiences out there. It was really great to meet them, and we had talked about them coming on the show last year. And we finally got around to having them on the show. So I'm going to go ahead and put them on right now. And hey guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are
hey.
You?
Hey. What's up? Loafer, you made
wild.
It.
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome, guys.
About like me.
Well, arrived tonight, we managed to get me, Gene, and Chris. So you've done something nobody else has been able to do before.
Well,
yay.
We certainly appreciate you guys coming on the show and talking with us tonight. How are you guys doing? It's been a while.
It has been. It's been a little while. Been doing pretty good. We've been staying busy. And been working on some stuff and, you know, kind of stay out of trouble, but hey, you can only do so much.
Hey, what fun is that?
Yeah, right? Yeah, we're going to try to get back out there to the cabin, probably in the spring, to do an overnight.
Okay.
You know, the door is always open for you.
Yeah, we appreciate it because we had some interesting experiences while we were there. I hated that Jane and Alyssa missed it, but Chris and I and Vanessa and her son Gray, we had quite the experience out there.
Well, we definitely enjoyed having you out there and meeting you guys, and we definitely wanted to come, definitely wanted to have you back on the show and just learn about, you know, how you guys got started and you know, how you guys got into the paranormal, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
And so there you go. Well, how did you guys get into the paranormal?
All right, who do you want to start?
Let's start with Gwen, then Gene, then Chris for like pretty much all the questions. So we'll keep it in that order.
Owen.
If that works
okay.
for you.
It's your show. I just roll with it.
We got a piece of guests, though.
I'll just hear it for the naps.
Well, let's see. Actually, I got started in it inadvertently when I was about 4 or 5 years old was my first experience. Without giving too much away, because it's going to be in my first book that I'm working on, I made friends with a spirit. Thought it was a real child, only to find out that this kid had been dead for about 150 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I gave a name and what he was, you know, what he looked like and everything. And they actually, one of the historians there, where I'm from in Cumberland County, actually found out who it was. And the name was a match. So that's how I got started. And then as I grew up, I continued to have other experiences. I suppressed a lot of it. My mom, from what I've been told, had abilities, but my mother passed away when I was 8. So I didn't get to learn a whole lot about her. And fast forward up until 2014 and decided to find Beyond Perception Investigators, because I just, you know, I try to suppress it and I try to hold it back. I try to hide it, and it just got to the point in my life that, you know, I wasn't going to do that anymore. So I decided to start a team that took a little bit of a different approach. We were more interested in the history, more interested in what the story, what the backstories are of these people that passed away. And we just try to give the dead a voice and the living closure. One of the first team members I brought on board was my husband.
Good idea.
Yeah. So I'm going to turn it over to Gene.
How y'all doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you, Bill?
All righty. Good to finally chat with y'all. I think I had a slight experience when I was younger. I'm not sure. But from my memories, kind of vivid about it, you know, it's wasn't too sure if I actually saw something or, you know, what it was. But after Gwen got to tell me about her experiences and everything, we just kind of decided, hey, let's see what we can do. And we ended up buying a small kit of equipment. We had a few issues here at the house that kind of made me more of a believer in more things out there than what we understand. You know, and after that, we've been kind of just going along with it and, you know, keeping it real.
Wow.
And then we added another individual to the group, and I think he's on the other line.
I'm still here.
Yeah. All right, wake up, man.
I'm awake. Well, I've always liked history and old creepy places and stuff like that, and when I was younger, I used to hang out with my best friend in a graveyard doing creepy teenager crap, and there was this one grave of a child that was dug up at this place, and that kind of sticks with me a lot. But I basically saw request for a additional team member for the team, and I applied, and I guess case closed. Not really too entertaining, though.
More like
it's
case
simple.
Started.
Sometimes simple is good.
Yeah, sometimes simple is real good. Unfortunately, my wife has been in a case.
Yeah, we started at a lot of things, you know, trial and error. Some things we wish that we probably could have done a little bit later in our experiences, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Well, my question was, what was your first case that you guys did together? And, looking back on it, what do you think you could have, being a more experienced team now, what do you think you would have done differently?
Who was that here behind the house?
Well, our first actual investigation was in April of 2015 over there, the private residence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the private residence. We had a private residence. It was April 20 something. I can't remember the exact date, but it was in 2015. And we had a family that reached out to us after we made it known that our services were available. And they reached out to us that they were having some issues at the house, and they had some small children at the house. And they were actually getting ready to move, and whatever was going on, they wanted to be sure that it wasn't going to follow them. That investigation actually surprised me. We actually went with the mindset that we weren't going to find anything. We tried to go with as critical mind as possible. With the thought process of, you know, we're not going to find anything. You know, keep an open mind, so forth. And we were actually quite surprised with that location. We actually picked up probably one of the highest snail meter spikes we ever got. We actually got a 0.9 outside of a shed that I felt that there was a hanging that had actually happened where that shed now stands.
Oh, wow.
And, there's no power lines. There's no lines that go under the ground, nothing. And we got a 0.9. And then we went inside the actual shed, and we were doing a pendulum session in there and trying to communicate with whatever was in there. And this shed hasn't had power to it in over 20-some years at that point, and we actually got a spike of a 0.5 right when I
felt nothing.
Yeah. And when it hit 0.5, it was right when I felt something push my face.
Mm.
Yeah. So that was our
That's
very
not cool.
First, yeah. That was our very first investigation together, so we were like, you know, we might be on to something, so we might want to try this thing out.
Yeah. Do you feel like you guys just kind of clicked right at the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's always
nice. The team we have now is right where it needs to be. We have had some past team members that didn't work out. And we actually worked off with like five or six at one point. Yeah. And now, you know, it's down to us four, me, Alyssa, Gene, and Chris. And we get on a location. It's like everybody knows what they need to do. We can tell Chris, bless him, he puts with my randomness. And when I start blurting out stuff, you know, sometimes the client, we encourage the client to actually be with us during the investigation. So if they want to participate, they can. And, you know, I'll start saying stuff out, numbers or names or stuff like that. You know, sometimes you'll hear Chris in the background saying, she's talking to whoever's here. You know, it's okay. This is how she does it. He's gotten to the point now, I don't think he's really too surprised at a whole lot, because I'll spit out something and they'll confirm it either right then or right after the investigation. They'll confirm, this is this and this, that, and the other. But bless him, I call him my right arm of BPI. Everybody's equal on the team, but I could not do this without my team. And Chris, I swear, he has come a long way with his camera angles. He's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, it's not filming at your crotch anymore.
That makes for some interesting TV.
I've got some edited pieces ain't nobody going to see.
Why are you looking at
my
hell,
dude, the whole camera thing.
What would you say are your biggest strengths individually as investigators?
I'm sorry, biggest what now?
What would you say is your biggest strength individually as investigators? Like, what do you guys do best when you investigate?
Make a good pack mule.
There you go. Every good team needs a good pack mule.
Well, I can say, for one, Chris is really good at being the shield. He's gotten his ass kicked more than once.
Almost every time.
But yeah, he's super good at that. For me, I really think my best thing is just my intuition. Just listening and taking in the environment around me, which can be a little overwhelming, especially when you're dealing with a really old piece of land that's got a lot of history. We've been to locations where history spanning as far as Revolutionary War on has happened. And that can be a bit overwhelming for me.
I'm just tired, Hill. I'm just hired.
We pay Chris with food.
Mm-hmm.
He's still waiting for
we mesh pretty well.
But no, Gene doesn't give himself enough credit. He does, in my opinion, he does really well with the DVR system. He picked out the DVR system with the night vision. And he sits and monitors the computers. He gets on the radio when he sees something that doesn't look right or when something comes across the camera that he can't automatically debunk. He is not afraid to get on that radio real quick and say, hey, y'all need to get to such and such room. This is what just happened. So he's like our other eyes and ears in other places while we're not there, which is extremely important.
It really is. I don't think sometimes those people get enough credit, because I'll tell you what, I've sat in front of those monitors, and I swear, it's like sometimes I just want to nod off. You know, it's really hard. It takes a very dedicated person to stay focused to that.
You're right.
And it's not easy.
Fact,
it's not easy. Keep your eyes open.
It's not easy.
It's not easy setting them up
either, for that matter. I have to help Dennis set up the cameras, and he's listening now, and he knows I am terrible. Turn it left. Tilt left. No, the other left. No, the other left. No, this. I'm like, oh, my God.
I dread putting
up cameras for an investigation. Yeah. Tipping up over the board. Don't kick the cameras. I mean, yeah, it is a thankless job. And Gene, I'd give you a high five right now if I was there with you right now. I'd give you a virtual high five because, yeah, it is.
Well,
to me,
that's the most fun part, setting up the cameras, getting everything ready for the investigation. And Chris, we'll do, you know, the interviews with the clients and all that to get us an idea of what's going on and everything. And it's, you know, it really makes – and we keep saying team. It's more than a team. It's a family. You know,
I agree with
that post. You know, it's I can't explain it. It's just more of a family than it is a team. We can work together. And like Gwen said, we know just about what the other person's thinking. And, you know, you don't have to communicate. You just do, you know.
That's awesome when you can have that kind of connection. I think we have the same connection with a group we have here in Richmond, CROP. We know each other very well. And like you said, it's a family. What you have when you have that connection, you guys can work together so closely, and it's very seamless. You know exactly what to do, what each other's roles are, and you guys can play off each other a lot better than just, you know, some other teams do.
Yeah, we all feed off of each other's pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's awesome.
For you guys, in terms of for your experiences in the field, if a new person was to come into the field and want to investigate, what would be something that's a misconception that you have found in the paranormal field that you would tell them about?
Sometimes spirits just want to talk to a single person as opposed to everybody. I might get a response and Gwen might not get nothing, or vice versa.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I've actually told, we had a young couple ask to join us when we were at West Virginia State Penitentiary, asked if they could join us for the remainder of the investigation that we were doing. Sure. And she said, you know, that they were new to it and everything, was asking for some pointers. And I was like, well, what do you mean by pointers? You know, and she was like, well, how do you get them to talk to you? And I said, well, it's just like somebody living. You have to earn their trust. You have to show respect, and you have to earn their trust. I told her they're at the prison. I don't care what these men were executed for. We don't know their backstory. We don't know their situation. So we need to treat them with respect, and we expect them to communicate with us. We're on their terms. You don't want somebody coming in your house and disrespecting you.
Nope.
Yeah, sometimes people forget that we're dealing with people. They're dead people, but they're still people. And they, you know, they forget that sometimes. They look at spirits as more objects than actual, I guess, once living human beings.
Or things there to entertain us.
Yeah.
Right. They don't entertain on command. It's not a circus. They're not a bunch of circus clowns. These were people that had lives. They had hopes. They had dreams. They had families. Regardless of how they may have exited this life, whether it was on good or bad terms, everybody has a story. And I think people forget that, and they look at it as more of a thrill, and they look at it as more of trying to get evidence. We all know paranormal, there's nothing completely concrete about it. Regardless of what you use, what new gadgets you use, there's nothing that's been proven 100% concrete. But I do try to take into consideration, and I urge other people about this. When they go on a place to investigate and they take into consideration people giving them their personal experiences that they've had at the location, just because you don't have that experience doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you may have a credible source that told you, look, this happened to me. You may have somebody that's kind of on the fence. The reputation is kind of iffy. You know, you can make a judgment call from there, but never, I try to never, ever discredit what people tell me as a personal experience. Because for that entity to communicate with you like that, to use that much energy to communicate with you like that, to just totally discredit it altogether, I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like if you go fishing in a pond and you don't catch fish, that doesn't mean there are fish or there are no fish in the pond. Just means they're not biting that day.
Exactly.
And I agree with Gwen on the approach when you do go to investigations, how you present yourself to them. You know, like you said before, you know, we're in their area. Well, we're in their world. You know, we're trying to communicate with them. You know, it doesn't, you don't have to have a lot of experience, because I felt like I didn't have, you know, whatever you needed to be able to do this. And I've had the, got some recordings and all. We did an investigation at a place that, you know, I was just asking questions out of the ordinary. And when we replayed, you know, the recordings, we had several good, you know, responses to the questions. You don't have to be, you know, just like you're talking about somebody new coming in. You don't have to have a lot of experience. It all depends on how you approach, you know, these, you know, areas and these, you know, spirits and things. If you put off a good vibe, they're going to feel that, and they'll most likely respond to you. But if you go in there, Mr. Buddy Badass, excuse the expression, you're probably not going to get anything, or you're going to get a response that you're not going to want. You know?
Yeah.
Even sometimes with the best intentions, like the incident that happened to me a couple of years ago at a private residence where I was jumped. And that's actually in season 2, episode 4, I believe it is. And had it not been for Vanessa and Chris handling things the way they did, somebody probably would have gotten hurt, and that somebody probably would have been me.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that...
Yeah, it's not only the dead that beat me either.
Yeah, but that's
yeah,
the one that...
Gwen got a couple good ones.
Yeah. I put it this way. I don't remember a lot of it. To this day, I still don't remember a lot of it, which is probably a good thing. But when you watch the video, I mean, I'm not that big. And I had Chris, who is a combat veteran, and Vanessa trying to pull me away, and I was breaking away from them.
Oh, wow.
That's how strong this thing was that took over me.
Wow.
My point bringing this up is, even with the best intentions, even when you go in respectfully, things can happen, and they can happen quickly. You know, we can't always control what happens. We can only control how we react to it and go on. We almost disbanded that night. It was so bad. It shook everybody up so badly. The team almost came to an end that night.
Well, that kind of goes into my next question, which was, where was your scariest encounter?
That would be...
Segway.
That's pretty much it.
I know.
I think the scariest thing about that for me, the situation itself was definitely bad enough and definitely scary enough. But I think what bothers me the most, and some people don't get it when I say this, but what bothers me the most is I don't remember it. I have no recollection.
That can be scary.
Yeah, I can see how that could be really, like, concerning.
Unnerving.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see myself on the video, and you could tell it's not even my voice. It's not even my voice. And you could tell that whatever it was out to get me. And thankfully, Vanessa and Chris were there and did what they did and kept their cool, although Chris, bless them, got the crap beat out of him that night. I don't know who beat him worse, me or the thing that was taking over me. But it was scary. To me, that was the scariest moment.
Chris, it was pretty intense. He, if it's bad, good, indifferent, Chris is the magnet for it.
And people don't understand when they see this stuff on TV, they don't realize that this stuff actually does happen. You can be removed from it if you watch Paranormal Witness, and it seems like it's not real. It seems like, you know, well, those are just stories. But this stuff, like your story, Gwen, this is actually taking place. You know, and it's not cool when it does happen.
Oh, no, it's not, especially if you cannot remember it. That, for me, has been the most nerve-rattling part of it all. And we even did a segment that we released showing that situation. The video is actually called The Incident. It's been included in season 2. And it's a quick interview of Vanessa, me, and Chris, and then it shows unedited raw footage of what happened. And I almost didn't release it. It annoys me that bad. I almost didn't release it. But through the urging of the team and through Vanessa, they were like, take this and use it as a teaching tool to show people what you see on TV and what you live through. You know, not knocking anybody on TV. Yes, they got ratings and everything, but you got some that are getting attacked every other weekend. And this was a legitimate attack. And it was to try to show people, even with the best intentions, things can go wrong quickly.
Yeah.
There was also a lot of after effects, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know me, Quinn, and Vanessa were dealing with it for months afterwards.
That's hard.
Yeah.
The ripple effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get out of bed for about 2.5-3 weeks after that. That's how drained I was, mentally, emotionally, and physically. I just laid in the bed.
It sucks life out of you.
She pretty much looked like a rag doll. Some of them shook her and just laid her in the bed. She was good.
Wow.
And
that's scary for anybody else,
watch.
Too. Yeah.
I'm sorry? Yeah,
so
people can.
So coming from that situation, what is some advice you could give teens who are going to a possible investigation like that, or who encounter something like you guys did?
Stick together and safety first.
Safety first, always.
Safety first.
Absolutely. Because Chris almost went down to that location by himself. And me and Steph were like, you're not going down there by yourself. So the three of us went with the clients, and then that's when all hell broke loose. So thankfully, he wasn't down there by himself, because goodness only knows what could have happened. So I told my team someday, I'm not worried about ratings, I'm not worried about views, I'm worried about your safety. You know, if you don't feel safe doing something, let me know, you don't have to do it.
You've always, for me always, television movies about, you know, paranormal stuff, you know, how the, I was talking about the earth reclaiming whatever. Well, this barn, I went down to help the family move probably, what, a year later after all of this?
Not quite a year later.
But you couldn't hardly see the barn. The barn had grown up, vines all over it. It was slowly closing in on itself. So, you know, it was trying to reclaim itself, I guess, what you would call it.
Wow.
It just gave me an eerie feeling just being around it. The day that we were there moving, it started raining. I'd never heard thunder the way it did that day. It sounded like it was crackling right over the top of your head.
Oh,
It was the thing that was there was mad because they were moving, and it could not go.
There was things in the house, in the kitchen, drawers being opened and closed, you know, by themselves. You know, this thing was really ticked off that they were moving and all. It was time to get away from there. It was not a bad, it was not a good place. It was bad juju.
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
Exactly. But yeah, definitely safety first, stick together, and don't play a hero is what I would definitely tell anybody trying to start in the field.
So how did you come up with the idea for your Beyond Perception's investigator YouTube show?
Actually, I was speaking with somebody on the phone one day about starting a paranormal team. And we're trying to think of a good name for the team. And we're talking about maybe doing something on YouTube, but, you know, we need a name for the team. And I just spit out Beyond Perception Investigators. It literally just came out. And the name stuck because we try to take an open-minded approach despite of our personal experiences. You can see what's in front of you. You can hear what's around you. You can feel, what's touching you or what the vibes that you get. But let's take it a step beyond that. Something scratches you. Okay, that doesn't make it a demon, people. Okay? Why did it scratch you? Is this the only way it knows to communicate? Is it scared? They could be scared. And that's why they did it. You know? This may be the only way they know to communicate with you. They know maybe that's all the energy they had, and they took that window of opportunity, and they gave you a push, or they scratched you, or you feel a sting on your face, or whatever. Things that people automatically feel as, ooh, evil. Well, wait a minute. Let me find out why it did that. And a lot of times when you find out the backstory of these deceased people that you end up communicating with, some of their backstories is not good. They're rather sad, you know. And however they lived in life, they're going to be in death. If you were evil, you know, if you were mean in life, there's no doubt in my mind you're going to be mean in death. If you were abused in life, you carry that with you into your death. If that's how you die, so you may get a little defensive or scared. I mean, that's what I mean by beyond perception. You have to go beyond what's obvious to you and find out.
Yeah. Well, that's an awesome name. I like that.
Yeah. Now, as not necessarily as a group, but individually, do you guys do you enjoy more like going to private residences where you feel like you're actually helping a person or people like resolve something? Or do you prefer like going to a known haunted location where you can, you know, you've looked at other people's evidence and you know that something's there and then see what you get? Or is it just like driving down a street and being like, oh, I've got a feeling, let's stop here and look at this?
Why not?
Yeah.
Me personally, these places that everybody has gone to, made public that, you know, it's haunted or, you know, whatever. Me personally, I like, you know, hey, there's an old building over there. That's kind of cool. You know, let's, like I said, I don't have any kind of, you know, intuition or any kind of nobody talks to me or nothing like that. It's just a gut feeling that, you know, when you see a place or an area that, you know, just looks right, you know, it's kind of a place to stop. We do kind of odd places, and to me it keeps it more real. You know, these are places that people have forgotten. And that's what a lot of spirits are. They're forgotten. All they want to do is, you know, be recognized. If that's the only thing that keeps them from crossing over, you know, we can help them, you know, being recognized, talk with them, or, you know, whatever we need to do. But, I like, me personally, I like these areas to where, you know, we go that, you know, nobody's ever been or thought to. I don't know how the rest of them feel, but that's just me personally.
With me, I don't really necessarily have a particular preference. I like to explore. I guess it's the explorer in me, but any old places that we go to, I'm normally the first one in any building to make sure it's safe and stuff. I just love the exploration of it, and after any investigation, whether we're helping somebody or not, I enjoy going over any potential evidence that we may or may not have uncovered. It's like getting a Christmas present every time. It's just cool, you know.
It's exciting getting new evidence. It's like getting a new EVP or something. It's like you said, it's like opening up a Christmas present. Like, oh my God, I can't believe we got this. Even if it's the place that we've investigated before. It's like, oh, this
exactly.
is so cool.
Sometimes it's like a Christmas present from your grandmother. You're not sure what it is, but you're probably not going to like it.
Exactly.
And you can't really return it because then you're going to hurt her feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Socks and underwear.
It'll come back and haunt you.
Right.
For me, I really enjoy. I don't mind going to the known hauntings like when we did West Virginia State Pen. That was interesting, and we're actually looking forward to going back maybe sometime down the road. But and you know, some of the battlefields, stuff like that. You know, Chris and Jane were all really big into history. We really enjoyed the battlefield. But for me, my personal joy in this is private residences. I like going to places with so much history attached to it that people don't know. And going there and making that contact and, you know, quite possibly we may be the first one that they've communicated with in years.
Yeah.
You know, for all we know.
Or at least the first ones that'll listen.
Yeah. To me, that's the biggest joy of what I do. And it's like them finally having a voice. You know, that's why we say giving the dead a voice in the living closure. Because we've helped people decide whether they're going to stay in their home or not. We've got clients we've helped in the past that are peacefully cohabitating with spirits today. Because now they have an understanding of each other.
Nice.
Yeah, it's you're helping, I guess, bridge the gap between the living and the dead. You know, so they can communicate with each other. You know, I guess through you guys.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, like I told one client before. I've actually told several clients this. You know, yeah, they might move stuff. You know, they might make little noises or they might do something to, cause attention or whatever. And they may get aggravating, but we all need to remember something. One day we're going to be dead, too.
Yep.
So, you need to play nice while you're here because they're going to be there waiting when your time comes. And they're going to know you.
I remember
that's definitely a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got a little bit of an abstract question to ask you guys. If you had a chance to ask a spirit a direct question and get a direct answer, what would that question be?
Good question.
Things that make you go,
Yeah, right?
Am I going to die naturally or is he going to kill me?
Nice. Actually, you've probably heard us say this in several of our episodes, we like to know, do you have a message? What is it you want us to know?
I like
that's
that, because that's more, that's more of a helping them rather than you trying to get information.
Right, right.
Or get some great universal question answered.
Right. I mean, they may have been waiting for that opportunity to say one word or maybe, you know, one sentence, and that might be their only opportunity. So he tried to give them that opportunity.
Yeah, you're dead a whole lot longer than you're alive.
Oh, yes.
This is true.
And I don't know if I'd want to know what happens after a read. I think I like the mystery of it. I want to know because, we do a paranormal investigating and stuff, but I don't know. I'd probably be scared to ask that question.
Well, I think I would ask, and this is probably stupid, but I would probably ask if there's any weather in
Do spirits notice weather? Do spirits notice, like, the time change? Do spirits, like, recognize,
random like that, you know?
Yeah. Do they know what year it is?
Do you have a raincoat?
You never know.
That's right.
How do you manipulate smells? How do you, like, say, how do you move stuff? How do you talk when you don't have a mouth?
I just want to know if I can mentally change
to keep
my
me
clothes.
Up at night.
That's what I want to know. Like, do I have to wear the same outfit all the time, or can I just, like, think of a different one and it shows up?
I would have to say I'd want to know what we look like to them. Right.
Yeah.
Or if they
is it like the others? Are we ghosts to them?
I brought that up a couple times, actually.
Chris and I have actually discussed this. We're like, what if one day when we die, we realize that actually we were dead the whole time and life just began?
Oh, that would be sweet. I like that better.
We have some really weird conversations at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, those are the good
times.
Well,
I mean, some people believe that life begins after you die. Like, this is, we're just here, living a life in
this
meat
suit, and
then when
we
die, it's a transition phase, and then when we die, we go to, whatever we go to after we die, whatever you believe in.
Right.
Straight to a board.
Or you stick around and do it again until you figure out what you need to figure out.
They had this little thing on Facebook that the light at the end of the tunnel is actually the light of when you're being reborn in the delivery room. So it very well could be,
We'll ask little Ryan when he comes out.
Yes.
Who were you in your past?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Can you talk to me?
He's going to have an interesting childhood. That is for sure.
That's for certain.
Oh, show.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard, to decide, if it's, really one question. Because, it's human nature to want to know more. As stingy as it might sound, but it's human nature to want to know more. So I guess the way I look at it is I'll find out when I get there, but in the meantime, what do you want to tell me?
Yeah, we all want to know more. That's why we keep asking the questions, the same questions, hoping to get some kind of response to it, trying to figure out what happens when we die. And then again, if we get an answer from a spirit, we don't know if he's being a smartass and not, totally completely lying to us about, what he's saying. So
I would.
Oh, no, I love the smartass spirit. I love the smart comments we get sometimes. They're just there.
Oh, it's 4 cotton candy and rainbows out here. Yeah, okay.
We were at a location one time, and Gene, it was at Darville School, and Gene asked a question, and a real low response came over the spirit box. And him and another girl that was on the team at the time just kind of looked at each other. And he looks back down at the spirit box and he says, "Can you repeat that?" And clear as a bell, a woman comes through and goes, "No."
Oh, okay.
Pay attention the first time. I like that for myself. Damn, God.
I love ones like that. And some people get upset or offended when a spirit gets smart with them. I love it because to me it shows funk. It shows their character,
Dennis just asked, because Dennis is listening to the show, and he just asked. He said he would ask, "Is there a sense of time when you pass away? After you pass?"
That's a good one too. Yeah.
You know, can spirits from like Civil War communicate with spirits from the Revolutionary War and on like the different planes? Can they coexist, or are they coexisting but not seeing each other?
Spirits. Yeah.
Can spirits communicate with other spirits?
Do dead people
spirits
talk to dead people?
Hunt for other spirits. Oh my God!
It's
a ripple effect.
It's like I told somebody before. I kind of see the spirit realm, kind of like a small town mindset, if you will. And what I mean by that is, if you go in being respectful, and you do what you're supposed to do, being a decent human being to the spirit, or if you go in being a complete jerk and demanding, it's kind of like a small town. Word spreads fast. And I honestly think that spirits somehow communicate with each other almost like, oh, don't talk to them kind of thing. That person's a jerk. I mean, I can just see it.
Yeah. That is true.
And, you know, we've been on location as two at the top of my brain that I can think of right now, that the history of the land crossed over from Revolutionary War on. And there were so, even Vanessa picked up on one of them, there were so many there. They weren't meshing. It was almost like they were in their own little cliques looking at each other like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
God.
What are you wearing? God. Gray? Ew.
God, you had that on yesterday.
Yeah.
Are you wearing clean underwear? Because I was when I died.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you change your hairstyle? Jeez.
Powdered wigs were so 200 years ago. What the hell?
But yeah, it's been a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster of emotions. It's been fun. We've had some. Put it this way: we've seen the good, the bad, and the downright ugly.
Have there been any really funny experiences you've had in the with the spirit or something?
I can think of one.
You're already cracking up about it.
I am. We were doing an investigation in North Carolina. And Christian, we're in this one room doing a session. I was holding the camera, and he's asking the questions. And we could feel that, you know, the temperature is fluctuating. We could definitely feel it was a female. Well, evidently, she took a liking to Chris because she pinched her butt.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I
was like, you go, bro. You even got the dead chicks coming at you.
It's all about the face.
Nice.
He just kind of jumped and he turned around and looked at me. What's wrong? He goes, I think she just pinched my butt.
Yeah.
Getting frisky.
Sometimes.
Talk about getting freaky. There you go.
There you go. You need to get that spirit on the show.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tell you what.
Have like a
incredible
matchmaker.
There was a female at another location that would run her fingers through Chris's hair and tug at his radio.
Yeah.
And tugged at his radio.
Incredible pimp.
He was like, someone just tugged at my radio, and then within a few seconds later, across the spirit box, you hear a female go, radio. And I said, radio, yeah. And she goes, yeah. I was like, okay.
So radio, that's what the kids are calling it these days. All right, okay. Talking at the quotation marks radio. All right.
Yeah. Got a shoulder massage, too, by one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Dead. I'm telling you, the dead chick looks guy.
Maybe that's why I get.
Man, what kind
so
of coat
much.
Are you wearing?
I thought a ghost or mad at me or something.
That's why the male ghosts are trying to beat you up so much. They're jealous of all the female ghosts going after you, so that's why they come after you so much.
Man, I've had so much stuff happen to me, it's not even funny anymore.
No, you're right. It's not funny. It's hysterical.
Well, it is. It can be.
Oh, my God.
Both are so going to blow up my one tap when we get off of here. He's going to cuss me out.
You are so right about that.
Aww. Love you, bro.
Nothing but.
It's a new nickname, Paranormal Pimp.
Hey. Parapimp.
Parapimp, there we go.
That ain't bad, actually.
Hey.
Pimping ain't easy.
That's right.
That ain't, no, it ain't. Paranormal Pimping ain't easy. That's for damn sure.
That's right.
Getting the girls on every dimension.
There we go.
But, yeah, if there's a frisky female on the premises, spirit-wise, Chris will find them or, you know, yeah.
What about frisky male?
Well, they'll find him.
Is he an equal opportunity employer?
No. Well, I asked him one time when he felt something. I said, you sure it wasn't a he? And he just shot me a look.
We're not even playing that with that thought.
I'm like, hey, with all due respect, man, they've been gone for a while, you know, they might get a little desperate.
I'm a sweet piece. What can I say?
Right,
there we go.
Did you change your cologne after this started happening all the time?
No, nothing has changed.
He still has lovable,
more of it on.
Arrogant stuff.
That is true.
This is why he and Dennis get along so well.
We do.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you get the female's attention, and Dennis gets called fucker every time he goes on investigation. So.
Oh yeah. I heard that one. That was rich.
And it's true,
yeah,
though.
I mean,
I've heard it. Pretty much every time he's gone.
I've been called a bitch a couple of times, but, you know. I've never been groped.
I don't get called much.
Yeah, meanwhile, poor Gene is stuck watching the monitors, and he misses everything.
Well, see, he gets the part, I guess, where he just gets to watch it, and he doesn't get to hear what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a little weird.
Get the popcorn.
Can I hear him on the radio a couple times? Are y'all okay? What are you doing? What's going on? And I'm like, would you be quiet? No radio right now.
Yep. It's all good as long as he ain't in my closet. We're cool.
Oh, man. But no, we've learned a lot. We're still learning. Every chance we get.
Every time.
Yeah, you know, and it's, the weird thing is we're probably some of the most healthiest skeptics you'll meet, because the guys will tell you when I'm doing review and we catch something, I will sit there for an hour debunking it until I get a debunk. When I can't get a debunk, that's what makes it in the episode. Anything that I cannot explain makes up the episode.
It's good to have a healthy amount of skepticism when it comes to this kind of stuff, because if you don't want to put everything out there.
Absolutely.
Like, oh my God, I heard a knock, or heard a breath. Oh my God, it's got to be paranormal. It's good to put out good, you know, incredible evidence. Where people could be like, oh, well, I can't dispute that. You know, if you're in the dark and you hear a knock, it could be anybody. It could be anything, you know?
It could be me falling out of the chair, fell asleep at the monitor. Who knows?
This actually happened before.
Hey, I know. I've fallen asleep sometimes. It's hard sometimes to watch those monitors for hours on end.
It is. It really is. And then when we get everything back to the house, let's say Because a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, you got some really good stuff for a 30-minute episode. And I'm like, that 30-minute episode, what came out of a 4 or 5 hour investigation from 5 different cameras, 4 different EVP reporters, you know.
And then we've got a DVR set up with 8 cameras.
Yeah.
And you can imagine, you know, they're going constantly the whole time. You know, we're there, so you can see or you can tell how much review that you have to do.
It's a long process.
It is. Like 8 cameras running 4 hours. Yeah, I mean, 8 cameras running 4 hours apiece, EVP recorders running 4 hours apiece, plus your photos or any other handheld devices. It's easy to have 80 hours of footage from one investigation that I just narrowed down to 30 minutes. The people
plus,
are like, well,
I mean,
how y'all always, you know, people are like, how are y'all always getting stuff? And I'm like, we don't get it the entire time we're there. What you see is out of 80-some hours of footage. That's it.
Yeah, and when you review EVPs, say you have an hour, like an hour EVP session, it probably takes 2 hours to go through 1 hour EVP session because you got to go back, you hear something, go back, review it, and you got to stop, go back, splice it up. It takes a long time to go through all this evidence.
It takes a lot of
it's work. It's fun work, but it's still work, and you're not getting paid for it.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, when we first started out.
So it's definitely a labor of love.
It is.
Yeah, when we first started out, you know, I was doing some of the camera work and doing a whole lot of EVP and all. And when Gwen got ready to start debunking stuff, she was hearing a whole lot of heavy breathing and things. You know, we were trying to figure out, you know, what the heck, you know, we got a whole lot of this going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, make a long story short, I ended up having to sit on the sidelines because it was me doing the heavy breathing. So that kind of.
He no longer operates the handheld recorders. No.
Got the whole Darth Vader going on.
So I kind of have to fill in and do things that I can do without contaminating everything. And hopefully that will get taken care of here after a little while, so it'll be a little bit better.
Well, don't worry. I've been told
every
I breathe hard on the show.
Yeah, make sure I don't hit my head either.
Yeah.
I told Kent that Loper has hit his head. I swear I want to start a GoFundMe for a real nice fancy helmet and bubble wrap.
Wear a helmet.
Thick Irish skull, man.
That's right. That wouldn't happen any other way. We're all misfits, but, you know, we work well together.
I would have to say we do. Like I said, we don't have to communicate much, but we know, you know, what the other's going to possibly do or, you know, whatever. It just kind of clicks. And it makes for
well,
a wonderful
awesome.
Time. I mean, we have a good time, and when it begins to start being work, that's when, you know, you're going to have problems, I guess, later on. But until
it's good that you guys.
Then, it's fun.
That's good. Yeah, it's good you guys are so close. I'm sorry to talk over you. I apologize for that. But, it's good to have fun with it because, like I said, we're not getting paid for this. It's a labor of love, and if you're not enjoying it or you're not enjoying the people you're doing it with, then you probably should switch lanes, I guess, or do something different. You know, but we're almost done with the interview, and I've got one question. Then I'll hand it over to Angie for her last question, and. My question is, if you could sum up, each one of you, if you could sum up your experience in the paranormal field in one word, what would that be?
Painful.
Yeah. I can see that.
If I could sum it up in one word, I would say educational.
I don't mean being ugly, but I'd have to go, damn.
Hey, that's awesome.
Well, I guess I just want to know, like, is there anything you guys as a team have coming up that you guys want to talk about, or, you know, let all of our wonderful listeners know about? Or B, if a private residence wants to get a hold of you, how can they do so? And the follow-up, like after you've met with them and you've done the investigation, how soon after should you follow up with them?
Let's see, what we have coming up, excuse me, we have a couple more episodes that I'm working on. We have a couple other maybe pending investigations that's still in the works. The big thing that we have coming up is in June, we'll be attending Haunted Road Media's Paracon that they're having. And it's going to be at Mineral Springs. And we're really looking forward to that because we've met so many wonderful people in this field, and a lot of them are going to be there. Vanessa, of course, is going to be there, and Mike, Rick Secker, and just some really, really good people. So anybody mm-hmm. that can make out to that, it's on Facebook under Haunted Road Media. If you can make it to that Paracon, I strongly urge you to, because it's going to be a really good event. So we're looking forward to that. Let's see, when we do private residences, usually what we do is we'll go over the footage that we have. Anything that's outstanding that we need to debunk immediately, we'll go ahead and try to take care of that first. Anything that comes up that matches a reading that I got prior to the investigation, because while the guys are doing their interview, I do my walkthrough. So I don't hear the interview. So anything that matches anything that I got during the interview, we go ahead and get confirmation. Extensive research is done on the property then. Any urgent findings, we notify the people, the clients. And I'm usually in touch with the clients. There's some clients that we did an investigation back in late 2015, early 2016, that I'm still in communication with them from time to time. So it varies on the need after the investigation. The clients know they can contact us anytime. And we have our Facebook at Beyond Perception 2015. We're on Twitter, BPI Team 2015. We have an email, BPI Team 2015 at Outlook.com.
Mm-hmm.
And our web address is bpinvestigators.simplesite.com. And, of course, on YouTube, it's going to be / Beyond Perception. And if you go on the search engine on YouTube, if you just start typing Beyond Perception Investigators, I think we're actually one of the first ones that pop up.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, I'd like to definitely urge all our listeners to go check out Beyond the Perceptions on YouTube. I've looked at their videos, and they're definitely worth checking out if you're into the paranormal and you want to see, if you're not really into the whole, if you're into seeing how it's really done, you need to check out these videos because they do a great job. And I want to thank you guys, all of you, for coming on the show and talking with us, and it was great to get to hear some of your stories and learning how you guys got together and stuff. And we look forward to having you back at the cabin here in the future, hopefully this year.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for bringing us on. We really appreciate it and appreciate all the work y'all do, too, with the cabin and public awareness with the other side projects that y'all work on. It's really amazing. And people can also check out the videos that we did on our YouTube that we were at the cabin. So, you know, feel free to go check that out, guys. I think you'll like it.
Definitely. Yay. Well, thank you guys for coming on, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Bye, guys.
Absolutely.
Kathy. Bye.
Y'all take care.
Thanks.
You guys have a great night. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was fun.
Well, that was fun. Yay.
I'm definitely glad we got to have Gwen and Chris and Gene on the show tonight. We've been trying to get them on for a while, and it's appropriate, you know, almost a year anniversary that we met them for the first time. Like I said, we're very happy that they came on the show and were able to tell us some of their stories. We've got some events coming up here. Let's see. March 17th, which is like a week from Saturday. Holy crap. We have an investigation
coming up
at
quick.
Henricus Park. It is the Spring Paranormal Investigation at Henricus Park, put on by Crop Paranormal. You know, our fearless leader, Dennis Uslock, put this investigation together. It's only $45 a ticket to investigate. You can investigate where Pocahontas lived. You can investigate the second English settlement in the New World. I'm pretty sure that's the second one. I know it's the second one in Virginia, at least. I'm not sure about, like, Massachusetts, and I'm not sure the timeline off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it's the second English settlement in the New World. Either way, I mean, $45, it is actually, it's a site that hasn't been really discovered yet. I mean, we know about it in Virginia, but it's not really on the national stage yet. But it'll be up there, you know, eventually. And you can be on the ground floor of this great location. You can, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it'll be a great time. So I had a thought, but it's like the train, the track just stopped. I'm like, okay, well, I know where this is going, but you know, it is a great location. And Angie and I have both been there, investigator several times, and we'll both be there on the 17th. So we're looking forward to having you guys out there. And but that's not all. No, that is not all. Because
never
on April 27th, all the way in April 27th, we're having another investigation at Henricus Park. We're actually helping the Twisted Paranormal Society is having an investigation on April 27th, April 28th, and they have their special guests are Scott Porter from Tennessee Wraith Chasers and Stephanie Burke, who has appeared in Kindred Spirits. And they are going to be there all weekend long. And to be quite honest with you, I don't have the information right in front of me about the ticket prices and everything, but I'm pretty sure it's $75 per night for the investigation. It's all on the Twisted Paranormal Society Facebook page, and I really don't want to give out the wrong information. So look up Twisted Paranormal Society, and they'll have a big Hauntings at Henricus Facebook event on their page, and you can check out all the deals they have for that. Like I said, it's been at the end of April, and we're going to be talking about it a lot on the show from now until then. Pretty much every episode we'll be talking about it. Get ready for that. You know, we'll have all the information. We actually have Stephanie Burke coming on the show on April 2nd. So we're looking forward to speaking with her. And And speaking of Twisted, next week we are doing a special called the Women of Twisted Paranormal Society. And I'm just letting Angie know this for the first time. I'm letting her take the lead on the show.
What?
Because I'm keeping it all more female-based. I'm going to let her take the lead. I might ask some questions.
That's scary.
I think this will be a good opportunity for the three of you just to talk about, you know, the paranormal and stuff. And I think it'll be a great show. And we'll learn We'll learn about how they got into the paranormal, and we'll learn about more about the investigation of 27th. So you're not going to miss this show. It'll be the 4 hour and a half, I think, with the Women of Twisted next week. So we're looking forward to that. And
yeah.
And then after that, we've got Michelle LeBaron coming on the show. We got quite a list of good guests.
It'll be a good month.
And we certainly appreciate it. Yeah. And April is shaping up to be a good month too. We've got Stephanie Burke, and we've got the people who got a paranormal team out of Canada. They've got a show called Ghost Cases. Again, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So April and March are shaping up to be pretty interesting months for us.
I'm really excited. The next
Me
few
too.
Months
I do,
are going to
I
be
like
very
it.
Exciting.
Yes, they are. It is going to finally get out of winter time, get into spring. You know?
Just, yeah, ready
we've
for
got,
the warmer weather.
We've got, exactly. We've had a few teases here and there. Yeah, but, you know, you have a 70-degree day in January. You know it's not going to last, so...
Teasing.
Yes. I mean, it's like going to a strip club. It's like, really, what's the point? You can look at it and enjoy it, and it's like, okay, it's gone. Great.
Well, it depends on what state you're in.
True. That is a good point.
What time do we have? 3 minutes.
No, well, I think we can go ahead and end the show now. I want to thank everyone for listening in to the show. Without you, you know, we would we pretty much be talking to ourselves. We'd just be having a normal conversation. We didn't have listeners. Is there anything else you wanna? Anything else you want to say?
No. Nope.
Well,
just thanks
well,
for listening.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget to tune in next week where we welcome Tana Lotz, Melissa Sykes, and Shelley Bradbury, the Women of Twisted, onto the Freakin' Awesome Paranormal Show. Same freaking awesome time.
Same freaking awesome.
Channel. You got the British bitch telling me it's 90 seconds left to go on the show. All right, well, we'll talk to you next week. Hope everyone has a great night. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.